Begin the Karnadav Masech, the Shabbos Dav Kuf Mem Beis. We begin 4 lines up from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues on the statement of Rav from the previous Daf. Rav said 2 statements regarding carrying out a child into the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. One regarding a live child, and one regarding a dead child. Regarding the live child, Rav said that the person is going to be putter on the child itself, because HaChai Noises Asma, the child carries his own weight, so it's not like you carried him out. However, for the pouch, you're going to be liable, whereas by the dead child, you're going to be putter on the child itself, because it's a malacha that's not tzarech legufa. It's because you don't need it for the child itself. You don't want it there, you just don't want it here. And the pouch is subsidiary, it's secondary to the child, so you putter on the pouch too. Now the Gemara says that Tanya Kavasei de Rav, we have a braisa that seems to say, like Rav, and that is that the statement of Rav that he said regarding the case of the live child, that you're putter on the child, but you're going to be chayiv on the pouch, although it's the child that's carrying the pouch, we have a braisa that will support this idea that when you're carrying an object, that whatever is on that object itself, that object is carrying, it's as if you're carrying it yourself, and therefore you're going to be liable. As we find in the braisa that says, Hamaytzi kelev mukufam, if someone transports, he takes out, he does a tzah of his garments that are folded, u'menachem ha-kasefa, and he's carrying it on his shoulder, he's not wearing it, rather he's carrying it on his shoulder, v'sandeilu v'taba'isa b'yaday, and his shoes and his rings are in his hand, that is in his palm, not the way it's normally worn, but rather he's carrying it, then chayev, he's liable for transporting it, he's carrying out his garments on into Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. But if he was wearing them, then he's going to be exempt. You're allowed to wear clothing that's considered secondary to the person. Similarly, if someone carries out an individual, a person, and that person is wearing his clothing, and his shoes are on his feet, and his rings are on his hands, and here it says in the plural, which means on his fingers, that's why before it said in his hand, which sounds like that you're carrying it, here where it says that it's trying to say that he's wearing it as normally, so then potus, and then the person that's carrying him out will be exempt, because the garments are considered part of the person, and on the person that you're carrying, you're going to be exempt, as we said for him nasan on the previous daf, because again, ha'adam noises asma, the person carries his own weight, so for him you're not liable, and his clothing is considered secondary to him, because he's wearing it, so then you're going to be potter. The ilu, however, ha'itzian k'moy shehen, if the person that you're carrying out was carrying it out as they are, that is, he was holding on to them, but he wasn't actually wearing his clothing, then chayiv, then the one that carries, that person will be liable for the clothing that the person that he's carrying is carrying. And that's exactly like Rava said, that although he's not carrying those clothing, he's carrying the person that's carrying those clothing, but since he's carrying the whole entire package, although he's putter even on the person that he's carrying, but the objects that are on that person, he's going to be liable for. And that's exactly like Rava's halacha, that when you're carrying out the child, although you putter on the child, you'll be chayiv for what the child is actually holding. Now the Gemara resumes discussing the Mishnah from the previous stuff. Kalkolo of Evan B'teichov, that one is allowed to carry, to move a basket, in spite of the fact that there's a rock, there's a stone inside of it, it's not a problem, because you're allowed to carry the basket, even though there's a mukta item of a rock inside of it. The Rishon Gemara asks, Vamai, why is that? To have a kalkolo basis l'dava aser, the basket should be a base for a prohibited item, and therefore the basket itself should be mukta. Because something that's what's called a basis, as we learned many times, it's a base, it's viewed in a secondary form to what is inside of it, to what it's holding up, and therefore the basket should be mukta. And that the Gemara says, Amr Abba b'machana Amr b'yechnan, hocha b'kakola malaya persiskin. We're not talking about a basket that just has a rock inside of it, because then yes, it would be a base, because a basket is actually a container, and what is inside of it defines the container. He would talk about that it's full with fruits, and therefore the main purpose and function of this basket was to be a base for the fruits. And therefore the stone could be moved along together with the basket and the fruits, which are permitted items and are not mukta. So too, once you're allowed to move the basket for the fruits, you're allowed to move it even though there's an evidence inside of it. However, the Gemara asks, if that is the case, that's the premise that we're talking about in this basket that's full with fruits and has an evidence inside of it, v'lishdina l'peiri v'nishdi l'evan, you should first throw out the fruits and throw out the stone, and then kinu be a diamond, and then gather the fruits with your hands. In other words, you should first spill. Why do we let you pick up the basket and move it wherever you have to go to it? We shouldn't be so lenient with the halachas of mukta. If that's the case that we're talking about, we should first spill everything out right where it is, just tip it over, and you shouldn't have to actually carry it anywhere. Then once everything is on the floor, then you go ahead and gather the fruits that you need and put it back into the basket, and then you'll move the basket with just the fruits. Why do we permit you to move the stone together with the fact that it's with the kli and the peres when there's a way to get around it and not have to move the oven by first spilling it out and then putting back just the fruits, and then you'll be moving just the basket and the fruits. And that the Gemara says that's not an option, although that is something that should be done if it's possible. But the case that we're talking about is Kedir B'Law Omer Rav, that he says a statement later on this Amid regarding to a different topic. But there he says it's Beperis Amid Tinafin, that it's talking about fruits that will get spoiled, will get soiled and ruined when it falls onto the floor. Hachinamid Beperis Amid Tinafin, here also we're talking about fruits that will get ruined. We're talking about very ripe fruits, and they're very soft, like figs and mulberries and grapes, that if you throw it to the floor, they're going to get ruined. That's why it's not an option. So although we should do that, but since we cannot do that, so therefore, again, we're allowed to move the oven, the rock that's inside of it, agav, the kli, and the peris that are inside of it. But the Gemara has still, there's a difficulty. Because vilna'arinu ni'ure, you should shake it around. In other words, you have this mixture over here. You have a basket with fruits, which what do you want, and they're permitted items. But you have a rock that's a muktza item. We shouldn't allow you to move it. So what you should have to do is you should shake the basket to separate the fruits from the rock by shaking it around and moving it around. That then it'll be separated, and then you'll have the rock isolated by itself, and then you'll be able to shake only that out, and you'll leave the fruits in. Why do we let you move the whole thing like that? So therefore, because of this question, the Gemara says that this case of the basket with the rock is a different case. Not talking about a basket full with fruits, and that's why it's not a base to the muktza item, which is the rock. Rather, Amar Rabbi Bar Ashi Yomar Rava, Hocha B'Kakola P'chus Askin. Here we're talking about a basket that has a hole inside of it, that's a little ruin, either on the wall or on the bottom. The Evan Gufa Nasis Doivin Lekakola, that the rock itself becomes a wall for the basket. And that is the reason why you're allowed to move this basket with the rock is not because, in spite of the fact that the rock is muktza, we're talking about a case the rock is not muktza at all. Rather, it's there to plug the hole that's in the basket. And in such a case, we say, oh, then you're allowed to move it with the rock because the rock's not muktza anymore. Rather, it becomes part of the basket, becoming either the bottom or the wall. And that's why the case is talking about that you're allowed to move it. And Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah that said, Metaltlin Truma V'chulu, that we're allowed to move the Truma that's Tamei, that's impure, which has no utility on Shabbos, and therefore it's Muktza, if it's together with Truma that's Tahar or Tchulin, again, which are permitted items. Again, the similar type of concept that together, through those other items, you're allowed to move it together. On this, the Gemara qualifies this statement, because although you do have a Muktza item, how does it let you move the Muktza item if you have a permitted item? Amar Rav Chisda, Lo yishanu ele shetahayu lamata v'tamei lamala. We didn't learn this heter of moving the Truma Tamei, which is Muktza, together with the Truma Tahayra, only if the Truma Tahayra is on the bottom of the basket and the Truma Tamei is on the top, and you need the Truma that's Tahar because you want to eat it, you're a Kayin, and you can't get to it because you can't take away the Truma Tamei with your hands because it's Muktza. So therefore, what we allow you to do is to take the whole thing, bring it to the table, and then you spill it all out, and then you'll take the Tahar one. So because of that it's on the bottom, there's no way to get to it. That's why we allow you to move the Truma Tamei with the Truma Tahar, because what's permitted is on bottom, below the Muktza items. Avo Tahar Lamala V'Tamei Lamata. However, if the Tahira was on the top of the basket and the Tamei was on the bottom, then Shokalila Tahira Bashavakla Tamei, then we would only allow you to take what you need, which is on the top, and you would have to leave the Tamei, which is Muktza, on the bottom. We wouldn't let you move the whole thing together because there's no necessity for that, and therefore you're not allowed to move Muktza needlessly. And that the Gemara asks, V'chi Tahira Lamata Nami. But even if the Tahira is on the bottom, still, how do we let you move the whole thing to bring it to the table? Lishdinu, you should throw everything out to the ground. Then you'll gather up the Truma Tahir with your hands, and then you'll put it back into the basket and take it where you have to go. Why do we let you actually move it, spill it all out? Not that's going to be less of a movement of a Muktza. And then everything will be out, and you'll take the Tahir, which was on the bottom, and you put it back in the basket, and then you go. So this is the reference that we mentioned before, earlier on the Amid, Amar Rebbe Lo, Amar Rav, Beperis HaMetunaf HaNaskinan. That what we're talking about over here with the Truma is talking about types of fruits that would get easily soiled, they're very soft, and it's going to spill onto the ground, that's going to get ruined. Therefore, it's not an option to do it that way, and that's why we let you move the whole basket to the table, and then you'll spill it out, and then you'll take what you need. And that's why our Mishnah tells you you're allowed to move the Truma Tahira with the Truma Tameya. It's not a problem, in spite of the fact that it's Muktza. However, on this qualification of this halacha that Rav Chisda brings, the Gemara asks, Meisbe, we learned, that seems to contradict Rav Chisda. because we learned metaltlin truma tamei imat tahir v'machon, the same statement of our Mishnah, that you're allowed to move the truma that's tamei, which is mukza, with truma that's tahar, or with chulin, which is also permitted produce. Bein shetahir lamala v'tamei lamata, whether the tahir ones, the permitted ones, is on the top and the tamei is on the bottom. Bein shetamei lamala v'tahir lamata, whether the tamei is on the top and tahir is on the bottom. Tiyuv to Rav Chisda, that explicitly contradicts Rav Chisda, who he said that it's only when the truma tahira is on the bottom that you can't get to it, that then you're allowed to carry it with the truma tamei. But yet here we learn in the Brisa explicitly that even if the tamei is on the bottom, still, and the truma that tahira that you need is on the top and you can take it, still you're allowed to move the whole thing together. So that contradicts Rav Chisda. So Amalach Rav Chisda will tell you that it's not a contradiction. Because Masnitin Latzerach Gufay, the case of our Mishnah, was talking about when you needed the Truma Tahir, the object itself. And that is because you want to consume it. And therefore, if not for the fact that the Tahir was on the bottom, the way I said that Rav Chisda qualified, then we would not allow you to move the Truma Tameya. Rather, you take the Tahir that's on the top, and you bring it to the table, and you leave the rest over there. So therefore, it's only because it's on the bottom that you can't get to it, that we allow you to move the whole thing to bring it to the table. The Braisa that did not differentiate whether it's on the top or on the bottom is talking about that you need the place that it's taking up. In other words, you have a basket that has Truma Tahir and Truma Tameh. It doesn't make a difference where it is, but you need the place of the basket. Let's say it's on a chair that someone has to sit there. And therefore, you have to move away the whole entire thing. So that is what the Heter that the Braisa was saying, that Rabban permitted a person to move the case of a muktza machmas gufe, which is intrinsic muktza, which has no utility whatsoever, which is a truma tameya, because it was together with the truma tahira. So atu high, we let you move one because of the other. But if it was letzarech gufay, then it would be like the case of a mission, like Rav Chisda says, that we would only allow you to move it if the truma tahira is on the bottom. But again, the Braisa is talking about a different type of case. It's talking about tzarech mekam, you need the area, then it wouldn't help you to just to take out the truma tahira, even if it's on the top, because again, that would not serve any purpose. I need to get the chair, I need to sit over there where the basket is taking up, so therefore, since it has truma tahira, so therefore it's not a bus, it's just for truma tameya, so then because it has something permitted in it, you're allowed to pick up the whole entire basket, in spite of the fact that it has mukts inside of it, but again, there wouldn't make a difference which one's top or which one's bottom. So therefore, on that the Gemara asks, based on this resolution of the Mishnah and the Braisa, what was pushing Rav Chisda to establish and to say that the case of our Mishnah was talking about with the Truma Tahira, that you needed the Latzarech Gufay, that you needed to use the Truma itself? And that is, why do you have to say that it's talking about only if the Tameya is on the top and the Truma Tahira is on the bottom? That's the way he qualified our Mishnah. He should have left it as it would have been assumed, the way the Braisa says it, that whether the Tamei is on the top or whether it's on the bottom, because it's told Malatzarech Mekoyma, like the Braisa says, then it wouldn't make a difference. Why does he have to say, oh, you want to know what the case of our Mishnah is talking about, that you can move the Tamei because it's together with the Tahira? That is only when the Tahira is on the bottom. But if it's on the top, then you wouldn't be able to. Why? Say that our Mishnah is talking about in all cases, as the Braisa says in all cases, and it's talking about Tzarech Mekoymai. Why does he have to say that it's only in such a case? Because he's establishing it's only Tzarech Gufay. And that the Gemara says that Omer Rava, Masnitin Kavasei Daika. Although it seems to be a good question, but the Mishnah seems to be precisely exactly like him, that it is talking about Tzarech Gufay. Because the Ketani Sefer, because he learned at the end of our Mishnah, says a similar case, Moyishal Akar, when there's money on a pillow, Minaris Akar Vehein Neiflis. So you shake the pillow, and the money falls off, and then you could use the pillow. V'amar Rabbi Baruch Hanan Rabbi Yechanan, to explain this case, Loishanu El Tzarech Gufay, we only learned this if it's talking about that you need the item itself, that is, you need the object, the pillow, to sleep on it, but not that you need the space. Let's say there's a pillow on the bed or a chair and you want to use that area, then it would be different. And therefore, we only permitted you to take it, to shake it off, and not to take the whole pillow with the money, just to shake it off from its place. But had it been the case that you needed the space of where the pillow was, then you'd be able to move everything together, even with the pillow and the money on it, you'd be able to move it the entirety and not just have to shake it off. And therefore, so the Gemara concludes, this is what Rav is saying, that it seems that the Mishnah is like Rav Chisda, because since the end of our Mishnah, when it's talking about the money, is obviously talking about a case when you need the pillow itself, Latzarech Gufay, not for the area of the pillow, but rather to use the pillow, you want to sleep on it, because if you needed the area, we said, then you would be able to actually pick up the pillow and move the muktzah with it, and we're saying the only reason why you have to shake it off is because you don't need the space, you actually just want to use the pillow. So the Sefer is talking about a case of Latzarech Gufay, so Reisha Nami Latzarech Gufay, so therefore the Reisha also is talking about a case of when you need the object itself, And therefore, if the Tahir would have been on the top, we would not have allowed you to move the Tamei, which on the bottom, as we learned by the money, that you could only shake it off and the money fall off, and then you actually take the Heter that you need. We wouldn't allow you to move the whole entire thing together. So therefore, although it's a good question that he could have said just like the Braisa, however, from the Sefer of the Mishnah, we see that we're talking about Tzarchei Gufay type of purposes, of to use the item itself. And if the Truma Tahira is what we actually need, then it would only be permitted to move the Truma Tamei with it if the Tahira is on the bottom and Tamei is on the top. But if the Tahira is on the top, then you would just be able to take the Tahira and not actually move the whole thing together, similarly like we find with the pillow and the money on top of it. The Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda said like a separate idea related to Truma, but something regarding Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Malin v'chulur. Rabbi Yehuda says you're also allowed to when there's a meduma, when there's a mixture of Truma that falls into Chulin. So if there's 100 and more of Chulin in proportion to the one saw of Truma, then we say that the Truma becomes bottle. It's not considered old Truma and be prohibited for a Zar, for a non-Kayin. However, although we say that it's going to be chulin, you're allowed to eat the whole mixture, but you have to take out at least one saw, one measurement, because there is obviously somewhere here, one saw of truma. So although everything is permitted, you have to take out one. And it's not a problem, you could do that on Shabbos. To which the Gemara asks, Vamai, why is that? Hakamisakin, but you're actually fixing, you're rectifying the whole mixture, and that is making it mutter to consume it, because until you take out that one saw of truma, you're not allowed to consume it, because somewhere here is one saw of truma. So although it's actually batal in halacha, but you have to take out one. So therefore, as we're always concerned regarding fixing something, we should be concerned of actually doing a tikkun that is a malacha, which is tikkun mana, when you actually fix something and complete it. That's a malacha deraisa. So generally, we say when you're actually fixing something, although it's not the malacha deraisa, we say that it's asr, at least midrabanan. Here also, we should say, why do we actually allow you to take out that one sav truma, or that one sav that we don't know what it is, and designate it as the truma one on Shabbos? So the Gemara goes through a few different approaches to show which Tanoik opinion that Rabbi Yehuda goes like to say why it's not a difficulty, why it's not considered tikkun on Shabbos. So the Gemara first says Rabbi Yehuda Karebi Eliezer severely, that he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, the Amat Truma Be'ena Machta, that he considers that the one part of Truma that's inside this whole Chulin, non-Truma mixture, it's as if it's laying out there in the open, and therefore it's not like it's mixed in that you're actually fixing it. It's right there out in the open, and it's not mixed in. And since it's right there, and you could take out whichever one you want to and designate it as the one, we consider it as if it's separate, and it's not mixed in. And therefore, you're not really fixing it, although you actually have to take one out, but it's almost as like if it's on the side. And therefore, this whole mixture is permitted, and we have this one here that's on the side. That's not going to be a problem for the rest. So although technically you have to take one out, he views it as it's separate. Where do we find this concept in Rabbi Eliezer that he views it as if it's separate? It's separate from the rest of the mixture, and we don't view it all like into one big mixture. It's not. We learned in the Mishnah in Chumas. It says, "Sa chuma shenafla lepachis mimei benitmu." Let's say there was a sub chuma that fell into less than 100 of non-chuma, and therefore it becomes what's called dimua. It becomes one whole mixture of possible truma, and we consider the whole mixture as truma, as aser for a non-kohen, because it requires at least 100 of chulin to be mevatel that one of truma. Now that you have this mixture that's prohibited, v'nafel min ha'meduma l'makom acher, you have this whole prohibited, let's say you have 70 pieces, 80 pieces, whatever it is of chulin together with the one of truma. Now something from this mixture fell into a different mixture of chulin. So how do you view that next mixture? Rabbi Eliezer says that this piece that separated from this group and went to another one, it will prohibit it up to 99 pieces of chulin. And ketrumas vadai, it will be considered as if a definite piece of truma, a complete piece of truma, whatever it was that came from this first mixture, fell into the second mixture as if it's totally truma. And therefore, you would need 99 pieces of a chulin. It would still make it aser until it has 100 to mimvatlit. And therefore, that's the concept of what we're calling mechte be'ena. That is, as if there's a possibility of it being totally separate and not just mixed in proportionately with the rest. It's not considered one big mixture. Rather, we see it as it's separate. That's the idea that Rehuda is taking from Eliezer, that we view it as if it's separate, because if it was one big mixture, then it would be like the next opinion we're going to quote, that it's some type of a proportion and ratio to the whole mixture that there is. Eliezer says, no, Eliezer says, this piece is separate, and therefore we can view it as when we're taking it to the second mixture as a whole piece of truma that you would need 100 pieces to be mevatlet. That's the same idea that we're saying over here, that when you're not considered misakin when you're taking out this one piece, because we view it as separate, not part of the whole entire mixture. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer.
The Chachamim know, Ein HaMedumim Medameya. The mixture does not create a new mixture in the second grouping of chulin. Elefi cheshbon, only according to the calculations. In other words, proportionate to the truma that it got mixed into. And for example, if let's say originally the truma this one sub truma fell into 60 of chulin again, which is not enough to mivatl it. Now, so you have a 60-to-1 ratio of chulin to truma, which they're all usher because it doesn't have 100-to-1. Now, a sub from that first mixture falls into a second grouping of chulin. Then we don't say that you need to have 100 to that one piece. Rather, it's a 60th. Whatever that piece is that from the first grouping that fell into the second grouping, we would need 90. It would make it usher up till 99 of that 60th. But if you have 100 of that 60th of that piece, then it would already be mevatlid, because any piece that's coming out, we're viewing it not as totally whatever it could be as truma, but rather we say that it's all one big mixture, and therefore we'll say that proportionately that the truma is only a 60th of this whole mixture, so therefore when it falls into the next grouping, you don't need to have 100 keneged in relation to that one piece that fell in. Rather, you would need 100 of a 60th of that piece, because only a 60th is truma, because we do view it as all mixed together. So therefore, again, that is what the Gemara wants to say, that Rabbi Huda is going, according to Pinyan Beleza, that it's considered a separate piece, and therefore you're not really fixing this mixture on Shabbos by taking it out. But on that, the Gemara asks, Amen de Shamatle, when did we hear from Rabbi Eliezer that he says that the Truma is considered separate, and therefore it's not all mixed together? That's only L'chumra. That's as we said from the Mishnah, that it's Dimua, it's considered mixed together, as if it's definitely Truma, and that it's going to answer even the second grouping that it falls into, it's going to be considered that you need to have 100 connected that whole piece. But L'kula, but to be lenient, that to say this halacha of Rabbi Huda, that it's not going to be a problem by taking out this one piece of the mixture, that it should be like Mesakin, Mishamele, did we ever hear such a thing? It would seem that Rabbi Eliezer would agree that would still be a problem of Mesakin, of fixing it. We only find that he says that it's designated as separate for a Chumra to say that even the second grouping will be Aser, but not to say leniently that it, therefore since it's separate, it's not like you're fixing it because you're not taking it out, that it's not mixed together. So therefore the Gemara says, Elahuda Amar, rather this statement of Rabbi Huda Bar Mishnah, he says like Reb Shimon, that he says, even leniently he says this idea about that we view it as a separate piece that's not mixed together. Where do we find this? Okay, now, like we learned in the Mishnah in Trumas. It says, Sa Truma Shenaf Lameya. Regarding a Sa, one measurement of Truma that falls into 100 different measurements, and therefore it's fit to go ahead and take out one piece and say that the rest of the Chulun will be Mutter, because you have the 100-to-1 ratio, which will say that the rest of the Chulun are Mutter. But you still have to do that technical aspect of taking out one piece, because at least one piece over here is Truma, so you have to take out one just to say we're designated one as that piece. However, although now that it's going to be mutter, if you're going to take out that one piece, but you didn't get a chance to take out that one piece until another piece already fell in. And now, you don't have enough chulin to say that it's going to be 100-to-1, because let's say there was 105, whatever it is, or 100, which is going to be enough to mevatel it. Now you have two pieces of truma inside of it, because you didn't get a chance to take that first one out. Now you have 100-to-2, which is 50-to-1, which will not be enough to be mevatel it. So what's the halacha? So Harezu Asura said that's going to be prohibited, that's forbidden. Reb Shimon says no, it's going to be mutter. So now the Gemara thinks that the reason is because he considers the first one like as if it was separate. As we're saying in the halacha of Rabbi Huda, that when there's 100 and there's one of Truma that we're saying it's mutter and you just have to take one out, we really view it as not really part of it because we view it as all permitted chulin. So therefore, that's the same concept, that when we have this one piece, it's not really mixed in. Therefore, when the second one falls in, it's really falling into 100 of chulin because that first one of Truma is not there anymore. It's separate. It's just a technicality to take it out. So that's why Reb Shimon says that it's going to be mutter. And that is the same opinion of Rabbi Huda, that we viewed it separately, and therefore when the second one falls in, it's again falling into 100 of chulin. And that the Gemara asks, Umimai. How can you prove that was the fundamental principle of Reb Shimon's heter? Dilma Hasan b'Hakimifkin. Maybe there the machlokes between Reb Shimon and Chacham is talking about a different idea, and therefore no proof to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakhama Saver Avagav the Nafla Bezachazeh, that the Tanakhama held that even if they fell in one after another, not at the same time, Keman the Nafla Bebasachazdami, still it's considered as if it fell in that one time because they're there together.
So it's as if they came at the same time, and therefore v'holacham shenafla, v'holacham shenafla. So this one fell into 50, this one fell into 50, which basically means to say when you have 100 to 2, you have 50 to 1, and that's not enough to mevatel for the chulin, to mevatel the truma. And that's why it's going to be asr. Reb Shimon Saver, Kamaisa Batel B'Meir, whereas Reb Shimon holds that since it didn't happen at the same time, it wasn't simultaneous, so therefore we say the first one was first Batel in 100, and therefore we view the whole entire mixture now as Chulin, because it nullified that one Truma that fell into it. V'hati Batel B'Meir V'chad, now the second piece that falls in, it's actually going to be nullified in 101 pieces of Chulin. Because since now the whole thing became chulin, even that one piece of truma, it's only technicality in halacha that you have to take one out. So the second one that's coming in, it's not going to be now 102. It's going to be 101 to 1 because that first one was already nullified in that whole mixture. However, since you have to take out one piece, at least the technical halacha that we said, even Reb Shimon would agree that it would be a problem to do that on Shabbos because it would be misakin that whole mixture. However, you cannot prove from Reb Shimon's statement that it's not a problem of the second chulin falling in, of the second truma falling in, because that's a different concept, because it already nullified it. But the concept of taking it out, it would still be misakin the whole mixture, and therefore even Reb Shimon maybe would say that what Reb Yehuda's idea is still going to be awesome. So you can't prove it from Reb Shimon. So therefore the Gemara continues on to the next Tana to say who Reb Yehuda is going like. Elihuda amek Reb Shimon Elazar. Rather, he's going like Reb Shimon ben Elazar. The time like we learned in a brisa, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, noisin einav, a person could put his eyes just to gaze at this mixture, this meduma, which has this mixture of truma and chulin, which again is mutter because it has enough to mevatlet, but you still have to take one out. You don't even have to actually take out that one piece. You could just gaze at one part, bitzad zeh, on one part to say that that's going to be the part where I'm going to take off as truma, v'oich mitzadach, and you could eat from the other side. And therefore, since even without taking it out, you could already start eating, so therefore taking it out is not actually considered tikkun by taking it out because it doesn't really help you. It's not what's making it permitted. You could eat without even taking it out. And that is why you'd be with the help, like Reb Shimon Elazar, that since you could actually do it with your eyes to actually be masakin it, so by taking it out with your hands, that's not the actual tikkun because you could start eating without it, so therefore you could even do that on Shabbos. But then the Gemara asks, Umi Savar Leikavasei, does Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who says that you're allowed to do it with your eyes to fix it, to make it non-truma on the other side because you have enough to mevatlet and you don't have to actually take it out with your hands, you could just gaze at it, designate it, does he actually hold like a Behuda that because it's enough to gaze that you could actually even take it out with your hands? But we continue on to Amud Beis where it seems not like that. Because it actually seems that Reb Shimon Elazar argues on Reb Yehuda, as we're going to bring a brisa explicitly says that since it's possible to fulfill your Einig Shabbos in such a way with just gazing at one part and eating from the other part, Reb Shimon Elazar says you can't actually take it out because that's not permitted. This action that you're doing is not a necessity because if you want to do it to be able to eat the food, you could eat it by just gazing and saying, that's going to be the truma part and that I'm going to eat from. As we learned, the Tanya's learned the brisa. Rabbi Yehuda says his statement that we were saying in our Mishnah, Mal nesa meduma be'echer nemeya, you can take out the one piece of truma from the mixture of the 100 to 1, as he said in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Oimer, he argues. And he says, no, noisin einam b'tzad zeh, v'oich m'tzad acher. You gaze at one part and you eat from the other part, because again, since it's not necessary, we don't actually allow you to take it out. And that the Gemara says, you're right. You're right that they argue, but the Behuda Adifa Reb Shimon Elazar. Behuda was going even one step further. He's better. He's, in other words, more lenient than Reb Shimon Elazar, a little bit more. And he says that since I agree, and that's the fundamental principle that we have to find for the foundation of Reb Yehuda's opinion, that it's like Reb Shimon Elazar, that you could just gaze at one part and eat from the other part, and therefore that's not going to be considered a tikkun, a rectification of the mixture by taking out the one piece of truma, and therefore you're allowed to take it out because you're not doing any tikkun. So therefore, there is no problem. So although Reb Shimon Elazar is the same principle, Reb Shimon Elazar held that, so therefore we don't allow you to take it out because what's the point? Reb Yehuda says, no, there's no problem about taking it out because it's still a technicality you have to do in halacha to take it out. And you're not doing any tikkun because to eat from it, you could do it by just gazing like the principle that was based on the opinion of Reb Shimon Elazar. Now we continue with the next Mishnah. Again, talking about the halachas of mukta, specifically tiltum and atzad, moving something of mukta indirectly. So the Mishnah begins. Ha'evin shal pi achabes, regarding a stone that's on top of a barrel, mata al tzida, you move the barrel, you tilt it on its side. That is, if you have to take out wine from the barrel, Now you can't take it out because the stone is in the way. So you tilt the barrel on its side. And then the stone falls by itself. However, you're not to actually take the stone with your hands because the stone is muktzah. So therefore, if you have to get to the wine that's inside of it, you tilt it, let it fall off, and then you could take the wine from the barrel. However, if let's say this barrel was between other barrels, and you're afraid that if you're going to tilt and the stone's going to fall off, it's going to fall on the other barrel and break the other barrels. So then, Magbia, you lift up the entire barrel and you move it away from this area that's between all the other barrels. And over there, and then when you come to a clearing where there's no other barrels around, then you'll tilt it and then the stone will fall off and then you'll take the wine that you need. Similarly, we learned Moisha Alakar regarding money that's on the pillow. You shake the pillow and then the money falls off. The same idea that we learned by the barrel, that you just have to get it off so you can tilt it and it falls off. However, regarding this pillow, if there was filth, something disgusting, for example, spit or excrement that's on the pillow, you can wipe it with a rag. However, you can't put water on it because generally pillows are made out of cloth. And a cloth, just actually soaking it with water is a problem. It's considered kivusei. It's like laundering it, and that's the malach of malabin, which is a malach of deraisa, and therefore you can't actually even put water on it. But what you could do it is you could rub it with a rag, and that's a way that you could clean your pillow from the filth. However, haisa shal ur, if it was made out of leather, that is, if let's say this filth was on a pillow that was made out of leather, which is non-absorbent, and therefore it's not applicable for the malacha of kibus of laundering, then you could actually even put on water, you could keep on pouring on water until the filth gets rid of it. And that is, however, you cannot actually wash it and scrub it and clean it. And that is, since generally pillows and blankets are very soft, so therefore, although it's leather, however, it's talking about soft leather, so it would be applicable on some level to kibus, to laundering. However, it's still not going to be, as we say, by garments that are made out of cloth, that shriyasan zeo kibusan, we wouldn't say by just soaking it with water is a problem of laundering it. And since it's leather, so therefore, again, you're allowed to go ahead one step more than cloth, and you're allowed to put water in it, keep on pouring it until it gets off. However, you can't actually scrub it with the water, because although it's leather, since it's soft, it would be, on some level, a problem of kibus, of malabin, of cleaning it on Shabbos. So now, Gemara clarifies the statements of our Mishnah. Amrav Huna Marav. Leishana, we didn't learn this first item in our Mishnah, that you go ahead and you tilt the barrel on its side to get the stone off, to be able to take the wine out of it. Ela b'sheichech. Only if you forgot the stone by the period of twilight of Bein HaShemashes, unintentionally, you didn't mean it for it to be, then you're like, oh, we left the muktzah item on the barrel for Shabbos. So then you're allowed to go ahead and tilt it to get the stone off. But if you intentionally left it, and this is where you always keep your stone, then the barrel becomes a base for the prohibited item of the stone, and then it would be prohibited even to just tilt the barrel, because now the barrel itself becomes a muktzah item, which cannot be moved on Shabbos. So therefore, it's only talking about a case when you forgot it, but if you intentionally left it there, and this is where it always is, then you can't even tilt it to get the stone off to be able to take the wine out of it. Then the Mishnah continues, if it was between the barrels, so then we said about the whole procedure of picking it up and bringing it to an area where there are no other barrels that are going to get ruined, and then you tilt to get the stone of it over there. And that the Gemara asks, Man Tana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah that says that you go ahead and you pick it up and you bring it to a different area, and then there you're going to tilt it on its side, where that is, if you're going to go through an effort, you're going to do it with the barrel, which is a permitted item, and you're not going to actually go take off that rock with your hands, which is a prohibited item, and that is, although now you're going to have to take the stone anyway, together with the barrel, it doesn't make a difference. You're going to go ahead, as the Gemara says, who's the town of admission, the cholhecha de'iki sur v'heter, that whenever there's a prohibited item, and there's a permitted item, the effort we have to go through and toil with the permitted item, which in this case is the barrel itself, that we're going to have to take it and schlep it and pick it up, bring it to an area where there are no other barrels, and then they're tilted. But we wouldn't allow you to go through the effort with the prohibited item, which would be the stone, which in a sense, in this case, would be the easier one, just to pick it up and then take it off. We say no. The tircha that you're going through has to be with the heter item and not with the isra item. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah? The way he clarifies the opinion of Beis Hillel. It's not like we learned in the Mishnah in Beis. Habari kitnis b'yamtiv. If someone is doing the malach of bari, sorting legumes on yamtiv, so different types of beans, he's sorting them. So b'shame oimrim, bari oichel v'oichel. He sorts out the ones that are food items that are permitted, that the ones that he wants to eat. And then he eats it, that is, he picks out each one as he's taking it, and he leaves the waste matter, the uninterested ones, he leaves there in the keli, which basically means to say that you're not allowed to do bar on Yom Tov. You're allowed to do it the way it's normally allowed to be done on Shabbos. That is, miyad, biyad, all the different ways that you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to pick out what you want to eat and eat that. That's the only way you could do bar on Yom Tov. No. You could do sorting as you normally would do it. And how do you normally do bayer? You have a whole mixture of food that you want to eat, and you take out those undesired pieces and you leave the food over there. If you want, you could do it, because Beis Hillel holds no problem about doing bayer on Yom Tov. As he says, you could do it b'cheiko, your betamcho, in your lap, or on a large plate. You could do it the way you normally do bayer on Yom Tov. However, v'tan, you learn the braisa that Amir Shem Lu qualifies this. And he says, when did we say this heter of Beis Hillel to do bar on Yom Tov in the way that's normally done, to take out the iser from the heter items? That's only if the food items are much greater than the undesired items. That means you have a whole big pot of soup, and then you have a few little pieces that are fell in that are undesired. So then we say that because you have so much, if you're going to take out, you're going to have to leave the undesired items in the pot, you're going to have to be taking out all the vegetables, everything else, which is going to be a large effort. Then we say that, no, you don't have to go actually take out the heter items. You could do the regular bar and take out the undesired items. Of a pesoilis meruba lo eichel. But if the undesired items are greater than the food items, then divrei hakol bar eichel. Then there everyone would agree, even Beis Hillel would say not to do bar. Rather, you're going to pick out the food items. That is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's qualification of Beis Hillel, which seems to be the same as we say in our Mishnah. That is, we say that although you're allowed to do bayer on Yom Tov, however, when you have a choice between doing the tircha in the permitted items or the prohibited items, we're going to say that you're going to do the tircha, the effort, in the permitted items and not the iser, which is as the same in our Mishnah. So therefore here we have the choice that it's not such a great effort in doing the taking out the permitted items of the food, because it's way more psilis. So therefore we say that although we're allowed to, we're going to require the effort to be done in taking out the permitted items of the food items and not the prohibited items, which again is the same as our Mishnah, that we make you pick up the barrel and not picking up the stone. However, the Gemara asks, but it's not exactly the same. Because here in our Mishnah, our case of our Mishnah is equivalent to the case of when you have more oichel than psoilis. In other words, when you have more heter, which in our case is the chavis, when that's a greater effort to do than the psoilis, again, which is the iser part, which is the equivalent in our case, is the stone. And that is because when you're picking up the stone with the barrel, that's a much greater tircha. And therefore, in that case, Reb Shimon should have allowed you to take off the psoilis and leave the oichel, which is how he says it by Beis Hillel. This that we're comparing it to the case of Shemgliel in Beis Hillel was only when you have way more psilis, way more waste matter than oichel, then we say to take out the oichel. But when you have way more oichel than psilis, then he says, yes, you're allowed to go ahead and do bar and yam to take out the psilis. Our case of our Mishnah is like that case, not like the case that we brought from. It's talking about a case that the effort of taking out the barrel and bringing it to the open place would be a much greater effort than just taking off the stone and being able to take out the wine from there. And therefore, to the contrary, if our opinion of our Mishnah was like Rav Shimon Gamliel, he should actually allow you to take off the stone and not have to do the reverse. And that the Gemara says, Hachi Nami. Now here also, it is like the case that we originally compared it to by Rav Shimon Gamliel. Because Kivin di Iboi Lemishka, because if you want to take all the wine out of the barrel, Lo Mishtaka Leyayin, you won't be able to get the wine out from the bottom of the barrel, Ad the Shokila, until you actually take the barrel, and that is the Girsa of Rashi, is not to be gurus the word Le'evan, but rather, it's told about in reference, that until you take the barrel, you won't be able to get out all the wine that's inside of it. And therefore, kipsoilis meruba lo eichel dami. Therefore, it is equivalent to the case of when you have more psoilis, which in our case is the evan, than the eichel, which in our case is the barrel. Because if originally you would go ahead and not pick up the barrel, rather you'd pick up the stone, ultimately you would have to pick up the barrel anyway to get out the wine that's on the bottom. And therefore, you'd be going through a much greater effort by just taking off the stone first and then having to do the barrel again a second time. Therefore, we say that it's equivalent to the case of when the effort of the rock would be greater than the effort of the barrel. And that's why we say that when you're going through the effort, you go beheter with the barrel and not with the rock, because again, this is the equivalent of having more psilis than eichel by having more waste matter than the food that you want, where we say that according to Yisrael, that you take out the food matter. Here also, we're going to say you're going to take out the barrel and you're not going to take out the rock. Now the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah. Again, what we spoke about, that if it was between the other barrels, then you pick up the barrel and you bring it to an isolated area and then you tilt it over there. Similarly, we learned, Tanya learned the Braiser, Rabbi Yossi, if the barrel was in a storehouse, which basically is the same type of a case, where it's there amongst other barrels that are gathered over there, and you're afraid that if you're going to tilt it, then the rock will fall on the other barrels and destroy them. Or if there were glass vessels right under where the barrel is, so then, again, you can't just tilt it over there. So you bring it to another area and you tilt it on its side over there and then it falls. And then you take what you need from it and then you bring it back to where it has to be, because now you already have the stone already off it because you tilted it off. The Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah that said, Mois sha'ala kar, regarding money that's on the pillow. So we said that you shake off the money and then you can go ahead and use the pillow. So Amar Rav Chiya ba'ashi Amar Rav, Leishana, we did not learn this, that it's permitted to shake off the money, only if the money was left by mistake. You was Erev Shabbos, you're rushing, you took out your wallet, then you come Friday night, oh, the wallet is on the pillow, and you can't move it because it's muktzah. So that's only if it was forgotten there. Of B'manech, but if you placed it there, this is the drawer, this is where you always put your money. So then Nasa, then the pillow would become Basus L'davar Asa, would be a base for a prohibited item to the money, and then even the pillow would be prohibited to move. It itself would be considered a muktzah item. Similarly, the Gemara says to the opposite end. We did not learn that you have to shake off the money and that you cannot move the actual pillow together with the money on it. Only if you need the pillow, the utility of the pillow itself, that is, you want to sleep on it. Therefore, it'd be enough just to shake it off and then you could leave it where it is to be able to use the pillow to lay on it. But if you need the place where the pillow is taking up, let's say it's on a chair, and you want the pillow away to use the chair, then you could actually move the pillow with the money on it to a different place, because again, then we permit it, when it's l'tzarech mekaymai, we permit the money atu, the pillow that it's on, that since you let it move the pillow, you can move the money that's on top of it also. As the Gemara says, V'chein ton chiyah b'rav midifti, lo yishanu el tzarech gufo, he didn't say that you have to shake off the money and not move the entire pillow with it on it, only if you just need the pillow itself. But if you need the place where the pillow is taking up, then you can move the pillow with the money on top of it. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah. Mo'ish ala kar, when there's money on the pillow, menar v'chul, then you shake off the money that's on top of it. So now the Gemara introduces Amaroic statements relating when something is on top of something else, which one we consider as the primary object. What are we allowed to move when something is on top of something else? So Amar Ba'ishe says, Shochach arnike b'chatzer, if a wallet was forgotten in the courtyard, and you're afraid it's going to get stolen, something's going to happen to it, manichala kikurei tinnik matatli, you could put on a loaf of bread or a child on top of it, and then move the wallet, almost so to speak, like the wallet becomes secondary to the loaf of bread or to the child, and just like you're allowed to move the child, you're allowed to move this that's supporting it. Similarly, the Gemara says, Amrav Yitzchak, Shachach Leveina B'chatzer, if you forgot a brick in a courtyard and you don't want it to get ruined, Manich Le'kikurei Tinnik Matal, you can put a loaf of bread or a child on top of it, and then you can move it because, again, it becomes secondary to the item that you're trying to move. As the Gemara brings stories relating to this, that Amrav Yehuda Bar Shila, Amrav Asi, Pam Achas Shoku Desakia Malaya Mois Besarati, one time they forgot a wallet, a purse full of money in a public thoroughfare, Ubo v'sholu es Rabbi Yechon. They asked Rabbi Yechon what to do because, A, you have the problem of muktzah, and 2, B, you have the problem that it's in the Rishus Rab, of Haitzah, of transporting something in Rishus Rab. So Va'amalahan, he said to them as follows, Hinichu aleo kikrei tinik. First, put a loaf of bread or a child on top of the purse. Now, that takes care of the problem of muktzah, that now that the child's on top of it, you could move it now within 4 amas. And then you could carry it. You could do either that you could move it less than 4 amas at a time, which is not the issa d'oraisa of carrying in Rosh Hashanah, or you can make what's called a mechitza, a wall of human beings, as the Gemara in Erev and the Daf Mem Gimel there explains how that's done. And therefore, that will take care of the two problems Because of mukta, that takes care of, as we said, when putting the child or the loaf of bread on top of it. And regarding moving 4 amas in Shusram, you could go either less than 4 amas at a time because of the great loss that's going to happen over here. Or you could actually create a wall of people which will create a separate domain in the Shusram. So Amr Mazutra, Mazutra qualifies this heter that we just mentioned. The halacha is like all these statements that we just mentioned, only if you forgot the brick, you forgot the wallet, but if it was intentionally placed there from before Shabbos, we did not permit this type of movement by putting a child or a loaf of bread on top of it to say that, oh, it's secondary to it. We only allowed it because in these situations where there's going to be a loss and it was forgotten, and then we allowed this heter of putting another object that's permitted on top of it to move it that way. But if it was intentionally left there, we don't allow this dispensation to be used as a way to move mukta items. However, Rav Ashi argues on this whole entire statement. He says, even if it was forgotten, we still don't allow you to do this idea of putting the loaf of bread or the child on top of it to move the wallet. Because we didn't allow this heter of child or loaf of bread, only for a dead body, for a corpse. And that is, there, if it was because of covered abris, because of the dignity of the person that passed away, when he's out in the sun and it's starting to smell and it's decomposing, then we allowed for that purpose to put the loaf of bread or the child on top of it. However, the Gemara brings stories that illustrate that as the first opinion, which is that it is allowed to be used even for non-corpse types of issues. As the Gemara brings, Abaya monach kapa kipi. Abaya put a spoon on top of sheaves, on top of bundles of grain to move the sheaves by virtue of it being secondary to the spoon. Rava monach sakina bar yoina. Rava placed a knife on top of a piece of dove meat that was raw and it wasn't salted yet. Umatala, and then he would move it that way. Again, they used this dispensation of putting something on top of it that is permitted to be moved, a spoon or a knife, on top of a mukta item, to be able to move that mukta item. So Amar Rav Yosef said, wait a second. Kama harifa shmaitza didardiki. How sharp are the statements of these young ones? That is, that they think they're so sharp. When did Rabbanan say regarding the wallet or the purse that you could put a loaf of bread or a child on top of it? That is only b'sheichech, as we said, that even the one that says it's permitted, there's one that says it's always forbidden. But even the one that says permitted for other items, it's only if it was forgotten and it's out in an open area and there's a concern of a loss of money, then we said we're allowed to use that dispensation. Like it's chilim yama, but initially to go ahead and do this thing for different things that are, yeah, my sheaves, whatever it is, oh, this piece of mukta meat, whatever it is, I can go ahead and use it. We never allowed that. How is Abai and Rava doing these types of things for things that we didn't allow you to use this hetter of kikar and tinnik when it was Likatchila, and not that it was forgotten with a loss of money? So to that, Abai and Rava both responded that we weren't doing something. We were doing a chumra, not a kula. Abaya said, I was allowed to move the sheaves even without putting the spoon on top of it. And that is, ilav to adam chashav enough, if not for the fact that I was an adam chashav, a respectable person, and I'm being stringent on myself, that people should not learn from me to be lenient regarding forbidden things, why would I even have to put a spoon on top of this bundle, these sheaves? Because even without spoon, I would be able to move the bundle. It's fit to be used in reclining on it. And therefore, it's not a mukta item. I'm just being more stringent that people shouldn't think it's a mukta item, and that's why I'm putting a spoon on it. But I wasn't using this dispensation of kikar v'tinik. Rather, I was being even more machmer and putting something on of it. L'ravcha d'milsa. Similarly, Omer Rava said, if not for the fact that I'm a respectable person, and again, I don't want people to learn to be lenient from me, sakina bar yoina lomali, why would I have to put a knife on top of a piece of raw dove meat? It's fit to be eaten raw as it is. That is, people that are very broad-minded in the fact that they don't get disgusted about eating raw meat, they eat it, and therefore it's not considered muktan shab as a piece of raw meat, which is called umtza, so I don't have to put the knife on. Again, I'm just doing it as a way of a gain to just be more stringent that people shouldn't be lenient regarding the halachas of muktza. Now, based on this statement that Rava just said to respond why what he was doing was not a leniency, actually was a stringency, is that it's time of the chazil umtza. It seems that Rava said that he would be able to move the raw meat because it's fit to be sucked on, to be eaten raw.
But it sounds like that if it's not fit to be eaten raw, then it would be muktzah, even though it's fit for a cat, because we don't say that we say something that's fit for a person is not necessarily fit for an animal, and that is there's an element of neilut over here, which is that it's muktzah, because up until now we viewed this piece of meat as for the human being, and now that it's raw, we view it as fit for an animal. That's a new introduction. That's what's called neilut, which is a broader spectrum of muktzah, and that sounds like that in that case of neilut, that if it wouldn't be fit for the human being to be eaten, although it's fit for an animal, that would be muktzah. And that the Gemara asks, if that's the implication of his statement, lememra de Rava k'Rabbi Yehuda Svirle, is this to say that Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that he considers a broad spectrum of muktzah, that he holds that even neilut is a problem of muktzah, and therefore over here, where it's only because it would be fit to be eaten raw for the human being, but if not, although it's fit for an animal, that's a new conceptual way of viewing this piece of meat, which was prepared for a person, and now it's going to be for the animal, which is a new idea, that's neilut, and that's what would be usher. So, is it really true that Rabbi holds like a Yehuda? But Va'amar Rabbi L'shamay, Rabbi told his attendant, Tavali bar Ovza, roast for me a piece of goose meat on Yomtiv, v'shadimei l'shunya, and then throw the intestines to a cat. So obviously, you see that he said it's permitted to move the intestines because of a cat. And even though now it's not fit for a person to eat it, because it's not the custom of people to eat the intestinal meat on Yomtiv, however, since yesterday, if it's fit for the person, so therefore, although now it's going to be a new introduction of being not for a person, and now it's going to be a neiler, a new idea of being fit for an animal, that is still Rava was telling his shamas to do that. So obviously he holds like Reb Shimon that neiler is not a problem, and that he holds a muktzah like Reb Shimon, not like Reb Yehuda. And that the Gemara will continue on to the top of Kof Mem Gilam and Aleph, that no, in truth he holds like Reb Yehuda. And that explains the statement that he said over here that it has to be chazil umtza, fit to be eaten raw, because although it would be fit for an animal, it would be a problem, because that would be a new introduction of neilut. But hasam, kivin the misach there by the case when Rava told his shamish to throw the intestines to the animal, to the cat, because there the intestines would get spoiled if you would try to store it to keep it to the night, and therefore daite iluyim etmol. He already thought about it from the day before, from Erev Shabbos. And therefore, he already thought, what am I going to do with my intestines when we eat this goose on Yom Tov? To give it to the cat. And therefore, Beina Shmashes, by twilight, it was already considered prepared for the animal. That is, he already had his das for it to be given to the animal. And therefore, it was not considered noilid, even according to Reb Yehuda. So although Rav holds Reb Yehuda, it's not noilid because it wasn't that it was muchen for Adam on Erev Yom Tov and then just became muchen for the cat on Yom Tov. Rather, he already thought about it from before Yom Tov, was already mentally prepared, non-muktzah, because what can you do with intestines? You can't save it for the night, it's going to get spoiled in the interim. As the Gemara says, Hachanam Mestab, the Rav Reb Yehuda Svirle. And actually, it makes sense to say that Rav holds like Reb Yehuda, the Darsh Rav, because Rav once lectured explicitly like Reb Yehuda, that Rav said, Ishaloi tikonis lebesa eitzim litil mehen ud. The woman's not allowed to go into the room where all the firewood is kept to take out a poke or a piece of wood from the storehouse of the firewood, because generally the woods that are there are meant to be used as fuel and not to be moved as a keli, and therefore it's considered muktzah. And all these woods have a muktzah status, so therefore you can't go in there and move stuff around. And moreover, v'ud shenishba, regarding this poke or this piece of wood that breaks on Yom Tov, so although you can use wood as fuel on Yom Tov, however, you're not allowed to take the broken piece of wood and use that as fuel on Yom Tov. And the reason is, because you're allowed to fuel a fire on Yom Tov with full-fledged utensils, but not with broken utensils, because since it broke today on Yom Tov, it's considered neilut, a new item has been introduced over here. Up until now we had a complete item, now it's something else, it's not what it was before. And that is, Shema Minos, obviously we hear that Rava holds like Reb Yehuda, who he's the one that holds that muktzah is a problem when there's something called neilut, and therefore, that was why Rava was lecturing that Shibri Kalim, broken pieces, cannot be used as a way of fueling a fire on Yom Tov. However, the story that we brought, that the intestines was allowed to be given to his cat, that's again, as we said, because he already had his intention from before Yom Tov for it to be given to the cat, because he knew that it wasn't going to last, and therefore, even according to Reb Yehuda, that would not be a problem in Neilut, and it wouldn't be a problem in Muktzah. However, Rava holds like Reb Yehuda.